Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to Deprogram with Ted Rawl and John Kiriakou. It's Tuesday, February 10th. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Ted. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I don't have the measles yet, so I suppose that's a plus.
At least I don't live
in South Carolina, and I've also, I don't know if my old MMR childhood vaccine works for measles.
I hope so. That's what I'm relying on.
You and me both. So, yeah, we'll be talking about that, whether we're going to have to deal with another pandemic, God forbid. And then technology is getting in the way of the search for Nancy Guthrie due to basically deep fakes and people who are claiming to have contact with her. That's making things harder for investigators. This is obviously the new today, right? It's not the future anymore. Last but not least, I'm totally going to butcher this Turkish name, but Rumeysa Öztürk, who was, of course,
right.
She was the Tufts student who everybody remembers. This was the beginning of the big Trump administration crackdown, or actually this happened under Biden, right? This was a Biden thing. She was arrested and detained. She was a green card holder, Tufts University student. They attempted to deport her because she wrote an essay in the school paper, or co-authored an essay, criticizing Israel's conduct of its military operations against the people of Gaza. And she's just been released, not by a federal court, but notably by an immigration court. So that's worth talking about because, that's a big symbolic thing. It really seems like the administration is starting to see the tide turn against its ICE policies. So we'll talk a little bit about that. As always, we have some housekeeping to take care of. First of all, thanks, everyone, for continuing to sign up and subscribe to this very rapidly growing show. We are now at 16,700, nearly 17,000 subscribers on YouTube. So thank you very much for that. Thank you for your support and your generous donations. We appreciate you liking, following, and sharing the show. And thank you for your support for our producer, Robbie, which means that you're supporting not only Robbie, but also the show. We're almost there when it comes to Robbie aid for the month of February. I'm going to go ahead. Please go to GoFundMe.com and search for Deprogram Robbie. Deprogram Robbie is one word. We're almost there. I'm kind of shocked that we haven't already gotten there. This is like
one of those
limit problems that keeps getting closer and closer. But we're not quite there. We need $1,000 and we're almost
there. It's the 10th of the month already.
Yeah. This is definitely the longest it's ever taken.
Yeah.
Maybe everyone's just so cold they can't move. But I can feel that. The heat was out at my house yesterday, and it was brisk. Thank God I had the cat to keep me warm.
Yeah, there you go.
So, John, what should we do? We have some questions lined up. Do we want to talk about measles? We want to talk about Nancy.
May I add a topic?
Sure.
Kim Iverson. I love Kim Iverson. She's an awesome human being. She has a great show. She's got like 300,000 subscribers. She's great. I worked with her when I had my show on RT. She's great. But she did an episode of her show yesterday in which she, showed these photographs that have been making their way around social media and video showing Jeffrey Epstein just walking down the friggin' street in Tel Aviv like he owns the place.
Right.
Folks, these are AI-generated photographs and videos. They're fake. They're obviously, clearly fake. And people are running with them like, oh my God, how could we all have been duped? He's just walking around Tel Aviv. He's not walking around Tel Aviv.
He's not walking around anywhere.
His brother is the one who identified the body. His brother is the one that escorted the body to the funeral home. Jeffrey Epstein is dead. He hasn't escaped. It's not a gigantic conspiracy involving every retard in the Bureau of Prisons that helped him escape from the prison when there was a 0.1 second glitch in the video, which, by the way, because people don't think to ask the question, all the videos reset themselves at midnight. There's always a glitch. Always. It's not specific to Jeffrey Epstein. They shut the cameras off. No, They didn't shut the cameras off. So anyway, my bottom line, Jeffrey Epstein's dead. Let's move on from there.
Yeah, another thing that happens a lot with these, you know, it's not even fake AI. There's pictures, old pictures are presented with new pictures, like a lot of right-wingers criticizing the conduct of Mamdani with the snowstorm.
Yes.
And they dig up old pictures of piles of snow from New York, sometimes from 20 you know, yes. years ago. So that's a big problem. I mean, you really don't know what you see. I mean, this seems like a good segue to talk about Nancy Guthrie, right? I mean,
yeah, so, let's do that.
Okay. So Nancy Guthrie obviously is Samantha Guthrie's mom. She's now been missing for 11 days. She's in her 80s. Nobody knows what's happened to her. She, you know, appears to have been abducted. And it's very it's hard to tell, discern from the press coverage whether they've really received credible, you know, demands or proof of life from any alleged hostage taker. Who certainly there have been opportunists who have approached and demanded mm-hmm. first one and now $6 million,
and one's already been arrested.
Wow. Yeah.
A scammer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, it's disgusting. Oh, my God. I mean, awful. You're already missing your mother. And then like these scum come to the surface and, you know, try to like shake you down for money on top of it all. It's just it's so low.
The family has said that she can't walk 50 feet. She's physically very frail. Mentally, she's all there. But she hasn't had her medication in 9 days.
And it's a very important medication, right?
Yeah, to like continue living. Yeah.
So there's that question of like whether she would even be like, you know, on at all. I mean, whether she even could still be alive is it? I mean, you know, let's face it. We all know the rules. The longer someone goes missing, the less likely they are to still be alive. I mean, I wonder if she just wandered off too, right? I mean, you know, no, we think she's all there, but
she couldn't walk 50 feet, they said.
Yeah. Okay. So that's not it. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's a mystery. But anyway, the thing is, I thought it was interesting that, like, now, you know, it gets into this issue of authentication. So the FBI is actually, I learned a lot about authentication of video and audio in my LA Times case. And the FBI sets the gold standard about how to do that, like how to determine whether, you know, when you see a videotape or an audio tape, whether you can trust it or not, and whether you could, like, whether it could be entered as reliable evidence in a legal case. I mean, in this case, the investigators really have their hands full, because until they catch someone, and then they're not going to really know what they have in terms of any videos or audios that they've collected. One of the big things is, for example, for the Zapruder film, the way that it was authenticated is the FBI has these standards that you can find online. They have to have the original device with which it was recorded. If you don't have that, because they compare like the magnetic imprint of the audio tape or the videotape to the original machine. Without that, it's almost impossible, really, to say that something hasn't been spliced, altered, modified,
or invented. Interesting.
That's super interesting. Like in my case, the key piece of information was an audio tape made with a micro cassette recorder back from around in 2001. You remember those, the little ones.
Sure do. I think I still have mine.
LAPD claimed, you know, they had modified the audio, but they released a digital audio, not the original. They claimed that they still had the digital, but then when the court had demanded it, they didn't have it. And then when the court said, where's the original machine? They didn't have that either. And then it was like their whole case started to fall apart. But like, you know, it's so authentication and enhancement are super interesting. Enhancement is totally different, where you can like find stuff buried, for example, under, let's say you get a recording of traffic noise. You can maybe hear a bullet under the traffic noise if you strip away the tracks.
I've heard, tell me if this is not true or if it's no longer true now that technology has advanced, but I've heard that the only thing that they have trouble stripping away is the sound of water running.
I had heard that too. I don't know if that's still true or not.
I wonder.
Yeah, it has something to do with the frequency.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, you know, like a great, if you're not really, you don't really know what a track is, it's sort of like when you're listening to like, you know, like 1960s, like the Beatles or like, you know, or the Beach Boys, stuff that's really like where the tracks are separated really clearly. And you hear the music bounce back and forth between your left and your right speaker. So it's just,
yeah,
you know, that's kind of like how it, how you can sort of imagine how this is. Anyway, I wish all the best to Nancy and Samantha Guthrie. But
yeah, this is just horrible, horrible. I can't even imagine it.
I mean, I don't think there's any regulatory scheme that could like make this any, you know, that could like bring, that can rein in deep fakes. I mean, I think that's just, that's just the reality of new technology. There's nothing you can do.
I watched a documentary last night about this woman. I think her name was Libby in the UK. She was convicted of murdering. She was a nurse in the neonatal care unit in a hospital in Cheshire, I think it was. And she was convicted of murdering six babies or seven babies and attempting to murder six others. The worst serial killer in British history, convicted in 2024. And it turned out that she was completely innocent. Completely innocent. But anyway, her best friend was interviewed repeatedly through this whole documentary. And I said to the person I was watching it with, that woman is AI. That's not a real person. Because the lips didn't quite match up with the words that we were hearing.
Huh.
And at the end of the documentary, it said that the witness was an AI depiction of what the witness, you know, wanted to say in the interview. That she didn't want her voice or her image to appear on the film. So they just created this AI-generated woman. Everything was AI generated. She's like sitting in her kitchen and there's a bottle of Dawn on the sink. They went to lengths to make this look like an actual human being, but this person doesn't exist. She was completely computer generated.
You know, I could live with that, John, if they said it in real time,
yeah,
underneath, right?
Yeah.
Like if it was like, you know, AI generated, this person's not here. Yeah. Putting it at the end though, that's
not
really
cool.
Cheating.
Not, you know? Cool. Yeah,
no, it's not cool at all. Wow, we're going to see so much more of that. I mean, even back in the day when like 60 Minutes would do like the shadowed witness.
Yes.
Like, you know, like Jeffrey Wigand, right? Like,
right.
Like with a distorted voice, like
right.
Everyone sounds like Stephen Hawking.
Yes.
And you know, but they told you like this person's voice has been modified. Duh.
Exactly, you know, right.
No one sounds like that. But yeah. Anyway, all right. Shall we do some questions?
Yeah, let's do that.
And by the way, thanks everyone for your questions. Please put them in. And we're going to immediately thank. We have our first thank you goes to Sneaker Dad 1020 for the $50. We'll try again to do monthly donation to Robbie. Please let us know if you have any trouble doing that. Okay, so from Rumble Frasmataz, for both of us, Nick Fuentes recently compared Epstein to Muhammad. Is it possible for a non-Muslim to effectively, not officially, issue a fatwa on themselves?
Seriously.
By doing that?
Like, what the frig are you thinking? Why would he do that? You know why he would do that? Because he's a stupid kid. That's why.
Yeah.
See, I'm in a bad mood today. I almost can't help myself.
Well, that'll make for better radio, maybe. it's a talking point, though, right? I mean, it's sort of like, it's a talking point on the right that Muhammad, you know, was a pedo and all that. You know,
it definitely is a right-wing talking point.
And let me just say that, like, look, you know, when you start to get into, if you're trying to compare 21st century American law to 7th century, medieval, tribal rules, I mean,
seriously,
talk about apples and oranges.
Seriously.
Okay. Kat, thanks. Hi from San Diego. Can you talk about Savannah's mom's kidnapping from a CIA perspective? Is this a common occurrence? Does anything stand out to you about this case?
No, this is a very, very uncommon occurrence. You know, the kidnappings for ransom are exceedingly rare. This almost never happens. And almost all kidnappings, the FBI will tell you, have been carried out by either family members or people familiar with the family. To have a stranger kidnap someone for ransom is highly unusual. And I think that's what kind of threw everybody in this case. Like, this can't really be a kidnapping, right?
It's such a throwback. I mean, the most recent case I can think of, I believe it was the 1990s when a New York City businessman was kidnapped and held, I believe, for ransom by strangers just for the money. And he was held under horrific conditions. They basically buried him on the side of the West Side Highway.
Oh my God.
And he could hear the traffic going by, and and he could scream, but nobody could hear him. And there's no pedestrians anywhere near that area. It was in Upper Manhattan, which is kind of like a more, I wouldn't say rural, but it's definitely like undeveloped. It's like Rock Creek Park in DC.
Right.
And, there's just parks there. And he was buried alive in this park for days. And he's lucky he survived. I don't remember how they found him. And of course, there was never, I'm pretty sure the hostage takers got caught. But that was a long time ago. I can't think of anything more recent.
Yeah, I agree with you. These things are very, very rare.
Yeah,
this poor woman, though. I have a friend who's an accomplished private investigator, and I talk to him every few days. Lives he lives outside Albany, New York. But anyway, he's been doing this for decades, and he said to me yesterday, very matter of factly, he said, "She's dead, and she's probably been dead for days."
I would think that too. Yeah. I mean that. I hope he's wrong. Alex, John, did you vaccinate before going overseas deployments? From what I heard, the rules are very strict.
Yeah, all of us. Oh, my God. You know, when I first joined the CIA, all the way up until like 2000. So for that whole decade, for yellow fever, you had to get a gamma globulin shot. And it was like injecting maple syrup in your butt. And it would make this knot the size of a tennis ball. So they would give you dispensation to walk around the compound for an hour and stretch out your glutes get that giant ball. It was like an hour of administrative time to work out that ball of gamma globulin that's pooling in your butt. But yeah, we got another thing too is you'd get all these shots the same day, and the next day you're sick as a dog. And so we would get that day off without it counting against your sick leave. And I only went to, not only, but I almost exclusively went to the shithole countries, as Donald Trump called them. Mm-hmm. And so I was getting shots right, left and center every time I'd go.
God, that sounds horrible.
Let me add one thing, if I could. I caught typhoid fever in Bangkok in 2002. And it's the sickest I've ever been in my life. And when it was finally diagnosed as typhoid fever, I said, it can't be typhoid fever because I got the typhoid shots.
Yeah.
And the doctor said, the typhoid shots don't prevent you from getting typhoid fever. The typhoid shots make the typhoid fever slightly less virulent when you catch it.
Gotcha.
Now, it was like the worst case of the flu I've ever had in my life. I had to go to the hospital twice.
Wow.
It was bad.
I have not. I remember when I had a flashback to those big needles. I had the first time I went to Central Asia, I had to get hepatitis shot again in your ass, like sort of like, and it felt like the needle was still in there like a month afterwards.
Yes. And the needle's huge and it's thick. Yeah, it's bad. Brutal, this is brutal. Bad.
Okay, I'm glad that this question came up. Dr. Douglas Hauser, John, can you help us understand what's going on with the Intel whistleblower cover-up and Ron Wyden's letter about the CIA? Maybe set up that story for people who aren't familiar.
Yeah, I think this is about a whistleblower complaint that Tulsi Gabbard has squelched. And is not allowing to see the light of day. And the whistleblower decided to go around Tulsi to the oversight committees. And so Ron Wyden, the Democratic senator from Oregon, who really is the only person on either the House or Senate Intelligence Committees that has a little bit of balls. They're kind of smaller than normal balls, but they're at least they're there. Nobody right. else, everybody else has been cast.
They're busy. Measurable.
Yeah. They're measurable. Yeah. So Ron Wyden's asking for clarification, because if what the whistleblower is saying that Tulsi did is true, this is a violation of the Whistleblower Protection Act. And there's going to be some money in it for the whistleblower.
Joel Regath, John, can you try to compare what we believed would have happened in Iraq if Saddam had lived versus reality?
Yeah, I think so. With the benefit of 2020 hindsight, of course. Saddam was a monster, first of all, like a monster, gassed his own people, electrified the swamps in southern Iraq to electrocute both Shia Muslims and Iranian troops, surrounded himself with some of the most horrific butchers of the 20th century. He was a very bad man, but he was the only bulwark, Sunni Muslim bulwark against Iran. And with the obvious exception of Kuwait, he was seen by most of the other peninsula countries as a protector against Iran. If Saddam were, he probably wouldn't be alive at this point. He's my dad's age, so he would be like 90, 91, almost 92.
One of the sons, like Uday or Husay, would have
ended up. I think Husay probably would have taken over. Uday was too mentally unbalanced. But Husay probably would be the president of Iraq today. And it would be, you know, he would be controlling things with an iron fist like his father did. But Iran would be significantly weaker because it wouldn't have a partner in Iraq like it does now.
FUSO, $2. Thank you very much. Are you watching the Winter Olympics? And any thoughts about the upcoming LA Summer Olympics? I am not watching the Winter Olympics.
You know, I set out to watch the Olympics and I just haven't gotten around to it yet. I've been following the news. I check the medal count every morning. We have 2 golds, 2 silvers and a bronze so far. So good for us. But in terms of the medal count, we're solidly in the center of the pack. I think the Italians are first and the Norwegians are second. I think that's what I saw this morning.
I don't think my brain has the patience for traditional network Olympics coverage and anymore. You know, that's with so much padding, like, oh, let's go back to this person's hometown and interview people who knew them. And now we're going to see the preparation for the event. And then we're going to see the event. Then, like, okay, let's look at that event again. Oh, look at that event again, 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 again. Now let's have a bunch of commercials. I just don't have time for it.
No.
You know?
No, I agree with you. It's just not for me. It's like watching American Idol, where similarly, they go back to the hometown and, oh, I've been singing since I was 3. And it's like, nobody cares.
Did we see, Pink Lady Apples wants to know, did you see or did you enjoy Bad Bunny on Sunday? By the way, I'm serious about my photo of you, handsome gentleman. Where do I send my address? I don't know that we have such photos to send, but
I'll have to make a couple.
Oh, you know,
I'm flattered that you would care. Ditto. To have a photo of me. It's very flattering.
Ditto, thank you. Ditto. Well, you can contact me through my website, raul.com, and I'll give the address to Robbie and we'll try to figure out
the
photo thing.
Yeah, same here.
Bad Bunny, I watched it after the fact.
Oh, I watched it.
And you know, John, we haven't talked about this. I understand some of the right wing pushback. Not all of it, because look, he is American. Yeah. I mean, Puerto Rico is American.
Yeah.
But I will say my critique really was there should have been subtitles.
Absolutely true. I don't speak a lick of Spanish. I will say, and don't mock me, but until 2 weeks ago, I never heard of Bad Bunny. Never heard of the man. Mm-hmm. Tell you the truth, when I first heard of him, I thought I just assumed he was a black rapper.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know anything about it. So anyway, I watched it live. Because I thought, well, people are going to be talking about it because it's already controversial. So I should watch it just so I know what the heck I'm talking about. Didn't understand a single word. I did enjoy the creativity. I did. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, when the Washington Post, the New York Times translated the lyrics, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
So now I can say, yes, I enjoyed it. Now well, that I understand it.
And the thing is, I've had this argument with several people about the subtitles. And I'm like, look, when you go to the opera, which is usually in Italian, they give you a translation.
That's right. They do.
And I mean, because you miss out a lot.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, to me, it's exactly the same thing. To me, Puerto Rico is as American as apple pie. That's not the issue. It's like, like if there was a Zydeco, performance, that doesn't exist in France, right? That's only right. American. That should have a translation.
Yeah.
Agreed. Just because it's, we're in America.
Exactly.
Who would believe Epstein's brother, Cyber Ingeniero asks?
Say that again?
Calling into question whether Jeffrey Epstein's brother can be trusted about his being dead.
Oh, because he's a part of the conspiracy. Oh, now it's getting complicated. Come on, people. Do you have any idea how many freaking mental cases would have to be in on this conspiracy to make it work?
Right.
I mean, I was, somebody sent me Kim's video today. I got so angry, seriously, in the first 15 seconds. I said, I am not going to waste 15 more precious seconds of my life even looking at this stupid nonsense.
Katie Catastrophe is asking, Elon said he would pay the legal fees of any Epstein survivor if they get sued for speaking out, although Elon's promises online prove not always to be, bankable. I think he's just trying to get ahead of it, showing he's a changed man. I think it's just Elon trolling.
Yeah.
Question from Jessica Davidson. Lately, the media is starting to promote the idea that Epstein was working for Israel all along. Who was it who suggested that several months back, John?
Exactly right.
True.
Exactly right. I'm very proud to say. And Alan Dershowitz and I went to the mat over this on the Piers Morgan show. I'm proud to say I stood up to him. I maintained from the very beginning this had all the hallmarks of an Israeli access agent operation. I stand by that, and I believe I've been proven correct.
It appears so. Let's see. As a true crime junkie, I can't wrap my head around this. 85-year-old woman, famous daughter, hoax, real ransom. It's just all so odd.
Isn't it crazy?
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of it. I think the authorities don't either.
Yeah. I think the authorities don't either.
Nicholas Francos, John and Ted, do you think the Europeans should create an alternative debit and credit cards payment system so their payments don't route through New York, which is the case with Visa and MasterCard? Yeah, I forget what that's called. That's the, but yes, most banking in New York, in North America and Europe routes through New York City.
Through New York City. That's why I remember I said the other day that they have that octopus card in China.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked one of the shopkeepers, what is this octopus card you guys keep using? Can't you just use Visa or MasterCard? And he said, no, those go through New York. These go through Shanghai. This way, we're not liable for U.S. sanctions.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, I'm always in favor of national sovereignty, or in this case, regional independence. So, yeah, I mean, there's no reason the Europeans can't have everything go through Brussels or Paris or whatever. They could. Waterways, Ted, any thoughts about Austin Buettner dropping out of the
LA Mayor's race? I was going to ask you that, Ted.
So Austin Buettner is was the publisher of the LA Times, who basically was ordered by LA former disgraced, resigned, corrupt LAPD chief Charlie Beck to fire me and smear me in his own pages. Austin Buettner is a disgusting pile of shit. And the people of California are going to be very happy that he's not going to be their governor to replace Gavin Newsom. Now, that said, so this was not the mayor's race. This was the governor's race. He was hoping to run in 2028. That said, this was the wrong, basically a bad thing happened to the wrong Buettner. One of his four kids, 22-year-old daughter, died. We're not really sure. Looks like a drug overdose, wow, is my guess. But and so he basically dropped out to take care of his to deal with that. I have no idea. He doesn't seem like a warm and fuzzy person. But you know, who knows what he is, what he's like as a father. But anyway, all I can say is the wrong Buettner died. So, handsome libertarian John and Ted, what are our thoughts about the new trade deal between India and the U.S. possibly throwing a wrench into BRICS?
You know, I forgive me if I sound cynical, but I think that's the whole idea. I think that, first of all, Trump likes India. Indians like Trump. Mm-hmm. And both sides saw this as a positive development. And at the same time, the U.S. gets the added benefit of throwing a wrench into BRICS by pulling India closer to the United States and away from China, Russia, Brazil et al.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of interesting, right? Because India is playing a role that normally you would see this kind of thing happen with a smaller country that's trapped between more powerful states where they try to play them off against each other. Yeah. And like, you can be our suitor. Well, I don't know. I could go with these guys. He's so cute. I might go with him. And it's like, but India's a big regional superpower. So it's funny to see them do this. I mean, I guess compared to BRICS and the US, obviously they are smaller. So, John Harth, I don't really understand who likes that kid. There's a difference between freedom of speech and then saying JD is a race traitor because his wife is of color. I assume we're talking about Fuentes.
Right. Right. I agree.
Joel, John, can you try to compare what we believed would have happened in Iraq? Oh, we already got that. Yeah. John, can you do a deep focus on South Africa and Israeli apartheid laws similarities? And thank you for defending Rashuala.
No idea.
Okay. Do you think the CIA had a hand in Gaddafi's son? Love the show.
There's always a possibility. Sure. Sure. Although, well, you know, yes, the easy answer is yes. Sure. I believe it's possible. A year ago, I would have said, nobody cares. This year, it's like, he actually has a following. He elected to stay in the town where he had been captured and was placed under house arrest. He was developing a greater following. He was talking about going into politics. So who knows? Who knows? Stranger things have happened.
Flanderina, I've been hearing a lot about the conspiracy that quote unquote pizza was an Epstein code word for children. Is there merit to this discussion? A couple big names have brought it up on their podcasts.
Big names. And let me explain. So I work with Ben Swan, who is a lovely person. He really is. And Ben was actually fired years ago by Fox News because he latched onto this Pizzagate story. And you remember there's this pizza place in Northwest Washington on Connecticut Avenue called whatever it's called. It became famous because Podesta was always talking about it in the DNC emails. The truth is Podesta lives right there in the neighborhood on Nebraska Avenue. So he's always going over there. So people said, Podesta.
Leave his phone on the counter.
Seriously. So Podesta, they said he's going over there because in the basement there's this dungeon and that's where they're keeping children and they're torturing children down there and raping children. And this guy drove up from North Carolina, you might remember, with an AK-47 and just started shooting the place up.
Fortunately, nobody died.
Fortunately, nobody died.
Kind of amazing.
So he did it to liberate the children, shot up this door for this little side room. Turns out there is no basement, right, let alone children. It's built on a slab. There's no basement. The little secret room he had, that was the where they had the server and the computer to do payroll. The room was like 4 by 6 feet. There was nothing in there but the computer and the server. The guy was quickly caught, sentenced to like 7 years in prison. He's already out. He's made apologies. He was duped. QAnon said that this was happening. Okay. Last week, the Epstein files are released. And there's an email from Epstein's urologist to Epstein. He's just prescribed some Viagra type drug. And he says, go ahead, take this pill. And then as soon as you take it, call me and we'll have some pizza and grape soda. And people are like, oh my God, it's true. The children are in the pizza parlor. It's a conspiracy. Or they really like pizza.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I like pizza.
I do too. And I mean, probably have said that in multiple emails.
Most Americans do. Not grape juice, yeah, though.
No, no.
Grape juice is kind of gross. Okay. Dragons of Light, can you help explain a little bit what's happening now in the Middle East, all the alliances and defense alliances? Also, Turkey started to defend the whole region? Thanks.
Oh, the Turks, man, would love nothing more to neo-Ottomanize the entire region. And I never said that. We'll come back to that. He's trying to be what the Ottoman emperor was in the old days when the Ottomans were not the sick man of Europe. And the Israelis are having no part of it. The Cypriots and the Greeks are opposed to it. The Turks don't. I mean, the Egyptians don't need the Turks for anything. The thing is Turkey is expansionist. It's occupying a third of Cyprus. It's occupying the border region with Syria. It's occupying the border region with Iraq. Nobody has any use for the Turks.
John, let's talk about this measles situation. I mean, I'm a little bit ashamed. The United States pretty much got rid of measles entirely. By 2020, there were no cases whatsoever. There weren't for the next few years.
Right.
And now, we have over 900 people. It's raging. Dr. Oz is urging everybody. He's the head of the CDC. And he is strongly urging Americans who don't have one to get a measles vaccine. Even RFK Jr. is saying it's your personal choice, but he's still not discouraging anyone from getting it. What's going on? I mean, how is it that we're dealing with measles in 2026? You know,
because these idiots thought that they can make all these vaccinations optional. Because giving parents the right to make these decisions was really the right thing to do. Okay, so now your kid has measles and people are dying of measles, or your kid gets polio, or your kid gets, lockjaw or whatever. You happy now? Boy, I guess you showed the government who's going to be in charge of your family. So if this is what you want for your kid, go for it. But I'll tell you what, as soon as another administration comes in, these rules are going to change back to what they were.
I would think. It's really bizarre. Folk style scrub. Maybe I'm unschooled, but it seemed disrespectful to have a Puerto Rican independence flag at an American event. And for people who are unaware of what that reference is to, Bad Bunny was carrying a Puerto Rican flag around. If you look carefully, the blue field is lighter than the normal Puerto Rican flag that has a dark blue. And that's the independence. Now, I will say, I did feel like that was a contradiction, right? It's an internal conflict between the message that, like, Spanish and Puerto Rican and Latino culture are part of the United States, all to be celebrated. And at the same time, we want to be independent. Those two things politically don't go together, John.
No, you're right. I think you and I have talked about this. The, the last time I went to Puerto Rico, I was talking with a guy, he's kind of mid-level Puerto Rican government official. And I asked him to explain to me what people's positions were on independence. And he said, oh, we are very evenly divided. He said fully a third of Puerto Ricans want independence. A third of Puerto Ricans want statehood, to be a member of the United States as a state. And a third of Puerto Ricans want to just leave things exactly the way they are right now. And he said, and because of that, nothing's ever going to change.
Yeah, that's my understanding as well when I went to Puerto Rico. I mean, yeah. Personally, if I were Puerto Rican, I think I'd want independence. But
I would agree.
I mean, I never understood why the Scots voted not to be independent from the Brits.
I was shocked by that outcome.
I was stunned.
I really believed that was going to be it. It was going to be...
I thought it wasn't even going to be close.
Agreed. Yes.
And it's not like the Scots couldn't handle themselves economically. They have a viable economy. They could.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yes.
Neil Dalston, 7265. What's going on with the new Canadian bridge? This is the bridge between, is it Hamilton, Ontario? And
yes,
Detroit?
And Detroit.
Did Trump just get bored of Greenland and went back to beating up on Canada? I think so.
It appeared that way, yes. I think that's exactly what happened. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Brianna wants to know, John, whether you will do another printing of The Reluctant Spy. She would like to read a physical copy.
Yeah. You know, I think we're moving in that direction. I sold out 50,000 hardbacks and 100,000 paperbacks. But I get more requests for a hard copy of that book than anything else. I looked at my contract the other day and I don't own the rights to it yet. Random House still owns the rights, but I'm going
to... Yeah, it would have to go out of print.
Yeah, and it is. It's out of print. So maybe it's mine. You know what? I'm going to...
Usually, once it's out of print for maybe not even a very long time, it becomes yours.
Good.
You could maybe just do a limited run, like of 100 or whatever.
Sure.
Number copies. That'd be kind of cool.
That's kind of cool.
John, what are your thoughts about Ghislaine Maxwell potentially getting a pardon from Trump based on her silence and testimony to try to absolve him? Well, she didn't testify. She took the fifth on everything. Mm-hmm. Why do you think she, I mean, my take on that is I assume she didn't take the fifth because basically they didn't offer her anything. And therefore, why should she say anything?
At the very least, they would normally have offered limited immunity. Mm-hmm. At the most, they would have let her just speak her piece and she couldn't be prosecuted for anything. That's how Oliver North ended up never going to prison because he was offered immunity. He testified. The Justice Department then tried to charge him. And the Supreme Court said, you can't charge him because Congress gave him immunity. So nothing he said can be used against him. He ended up not seeing a day in jail. With Ghislaine Maxwell, I think they just didn't offer her anything. They just subpoenaed her at the prison and said, come and testify. And she said, not a chance.
Right. I don't know
what
they thought would happen.
And the more important point is this notion of a pardon or a commutation. Like deep down, I can't imagine any president commuting the sentence of or pardoning a convicted child trafficker.
Especially at that scale.
But I'm genuinely worried.
Huh. Fuso, thanks for the buck. And I do not know about this. Did you hear about that French hospital being evacuated because a guy came in with a live World War I rusty ordnance up his ass?
I have to Google that because that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it does.
There was something else that one of our viewers told me about yesterday, and I was like, what are you talking about? And he said, you have to stop reading just the American media. There was an explosion at the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. And then 2 hours later, there was a huge explosion at an Iranian arms depot.
Really?
Yeah. So I looked it up. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened.
And maybe the third prong of the attack is the French hospital ass grenade.
Let's look at that, Ted. I got to...
I mean, I had a friend who she was my ex-wife's relative. She worked at the ER at George Washington University Medical Center there in D.C. And she told me so many outrageous stories about people coming in with strange shit. And the grossest story she had was about a guy who came in wearing a trench coat. And when he removed it, he'd been fucking his cat.
And the cat
was clamped, you know, so they have, like, in their genitals, they have spines and they kind of like lock on each other. So that's kind of like why they yowl when they fuck, because it hurts.
Oh my God.
And anyway, but a cat, of course, a dude is like many times too big for the cat. Anyway, the point is the cat had locked on and wouldn't let go. And so I said, what did you do? And she goes to me like, I'm retarded. Like, what do you think we did? I'm like, oh, if it were me, I'd take him to the back and shoot him. But I mean, because I'm not sure the world really needs cat fuckers. But she's, I'm sure you guys didn't do that. And she goes, nah, we gave the cat a muscle relaxant. And I said, did you let him take the cat back home? And she said she didn't know that part.
Oh, this was not a grenade, Ted.
Okay.
Listen to this.
Ordnance, the FUSO said.
A 24-year-old man reported to the emergency room complaining of severe rectal pain when, this is from El País, when questioned about the cause of his discomfort, he admitted to inserting an object without specifying what it was. The pain was too intense to ignore, but he failed to provide some crucial details. The medical staff proceeded to operate as is standard procedure in similar cases where some kind of sexual activity leads to such an unpredictable situation. The problem, though, arose when they began to remove the identified object, which turned out to be a relatively small World War I shell measuring 20 inches long.
What?
And just over 3 centimeters in diameter.
20 inches.
Medical.
So this medical is, staff this is had 18 to, inches right here.
Ridiculous. Medical staff had to halt the procedure, fearing a possible explosion. The hospital, unfamiliar with such protocols, immediately alerted authorities. And at 1:40 a.m., police arrived and activated the bomb squad. The team established a security perimeter to neutralize the device so surgery could continue, although no one knew at that stage if the entire operation could blow up at any moment. Initial checks, however, concluded that the shell dated from 1918 and posed no risk. It was no longer explosive. What us people?
People
are
put a lot
nuts.
Of shit, weird shit in their ass.
You know, my ex-father-in-law was an emergency room physician at St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Youngstown, Ohio. That's where he did his residency. And he told me, you know, back in the day when I was a kid, Youngstown had a significant mob presence. And he said the worst.
Now there's not enough economy to be worth it.
No. He said the worst case he ever had was a guy came in bleeding profusely from the rectum. And what the mob had done, the guy owed money and didn't pay it back. They shoved a pipe up his ass. Oh, shit. Then they ran a line of barbed wire up the pipe and then pulled the pipe out. So his ass closed on the barbed wire. He said that guy was in surgery for 12 hours and it lacerated his liver. It lacerated his kidney. He almost bled to death.
That's fiendish.
Yeah. Who would ever even think of something like
I know.
That?
I know. I have a book on medieval torture and I'm always like, who sat around thinking of this stuff?
Yeah. Isn't that the truth?
It's sort of like there's a Tibetan torture where they have they put you on a block of ice. You stand on a block of ice and you have like these hooks, like basically your head is in a cage with hooks going up into your neck. And as the ice slowly melts, you know, you can't stay up as high. So they push more and more in.
Good
I'm like,
Lord.
Man, talk about what? We're ingenious little monkeys.
Yeah, I guess.
Let's see. Look up Desert Fox says, look up Podesta's personal art collection if you ever want trouble sleeping. I don't know anything about that. Zach Diecast, Mans Mansour. There are speculations that Trump is behind Nancy Guthrie's kidnapping in some way. Yeah, he's also behind, like, when Clovis doesn't want to eat his food. Do you give that theory any merit? Trump's not responsible for everything bad in the universe.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jackson McGrath is clarifying from his earlier comment. I meant Rashuala on defending his marriage to Mother Aisha. Anyway. All right.
Sorry.
All right. So let's talk about Rumeysa Ozturk. She's the Tufts student who was famously on video, initially dragged off the street over her. When did this happen? I'm trying to remember. Was this
No, it was under Trump.
It was under Trump.
Very beginning of the second Trump administration.
There's also a story in Politico today about how judges are really getting pissed off at ICE because of their legal tactics. First of all, whenever the judges issue any kind of habeas rulings, it's often the people are whisked out of state before they can, before they can be liberated. The Department of Justice is constantly dragging their ass on replying to the court's demands, even when the courts rule that a detainee must be released. The ICE just keeps them anyway for weeks, days, weeks at a time. ICE behaves in bad faith. They're often released. For example, people are dragged off the street in Minnesota and then dumped on and then just left outside without money or their possessions or their phone or any way to call anyone in El Paso. And it's like, well, we did release them.
And if you've ever been to El Paso, it's not some place you want to be just dumped out on the street.
That's true. It's a little sketchy. When judges say this person's free to go, ICE puts monitoring bracelets and ankle bracelets on them. Basically there's constantly, the judges keep saying like, you guys are, disrespectful, you're disobeying the courts. But basically, this is just sort of not going to change. But anyway, I guess my point is, we see the polls are very anti-ICE these days. It's going to get worse and worse. I have good sourcing that says ICE is now headed towards Springfield, Ohio, to basically the people who were sent from Minnesota are now going to Ohio. It's just going to be ugly, more ugly scenes. What do you make of the fact that like an immigration court, which are now called deportation courts,
right,
these are pretty much, the fix is normally in against the immigrants, against the migrants, but they decided to let Ozturk go. I mean, what was it about her case? Do you think that like, and this is decisive, that's it. She's down here.
That's it. That's right. You know, I think that there is a lot of disagreement at the federal district court level. This decision negated that that dispute at the district level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the appellate courts, even the appellate judges that were appointed by Donald Trump are now coming out in writing and saying this has gone too far and it needs to be dialed back. You can't just pick somebody up and expel them because you don't like their political beliefs.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see what happens to Khalil too.
That's the big one.
That's the never ending story.
Yes.
Yeah, me too. Pete one, one VE. Thanks for the twofer. I like pizza too, but I don't need ED drugs to enjoy it.
Seriously.
I can't top that. Question for John from Desert Fox. What's your opinion on recent settler agitation of Al-Aqsa in coordination with the looming Iran war? Many extremists see this as a biblical end time battle of Gog and Magog.
That is exactly right. I'm actually frightened by all of this. You know, the religious Jews believe that they need to reclaim the mount, right, and build the third temple. The first temple, of course, was BC. The second temple was destroyed, I don't know, 30 years or so after the crucifixion. And this is where the third temple will come. As soon as the third temple is built, the Messiah is going to come down and take everybody to heaven. It's apocalyptic. It's exceedingly dangerous. And honest to God, if something happens to the Al-Aqsa Mosque, it's going to be the start of World War III.
Oh, well, that's
it is. It's going to be the start of World War III. nothing less.
Ruby Dog. I'm
very worried about it.
Ruby Dog, thoughts on federal attempted takeover of state elections, impacts on coming midterms.
Can't do it. We've talked about this in the past. The states get to run their own elections.
Well, what if, I mean, but okay, but this has to, I mean, you're right. That's what the Constitution says, but that has to be enforced in a court of law. What's to prevent more stuff like what we saw, the DOJ, the FBI seizing voter records in Fulton County, Georgia? What if the administration just says, fuck it, we're going to go ahead and just take over a bunch of state elections this fall. And then, like, you know, the election will be over. By the time the election's over, the courts will rule. But I mean, I don't know. There can be emergency injunctions, but
yeah,
I mean, the court and system doesn't seem to be very nimble in its ability to respond to the a very fast moving administration.
Well, although one side or the other can appeal directly to the Supreme Court, you don't have to go to the district court, then the appellate court. You can go directly to the Supreme Court and ask for an injunction. And I suspect that's where we're headed.
John, any CIA methods for rolling your R's as a white boy who barely speaks Spanish or Arabic?
Yeah. In all seriousness, yes. Pronounce it like a D, like Teddy, like the name Teddy. It will get you into the practice of... Yeah, but that's a French one back here. Like the Arabic one is, I am
royally annoyed that he didn't. That question wasn't for the person who speaks French here. Le roi de la France. But all right. And let's see. I think this will probably be the last question here. Flanderina is asking, my sister is visiting her Palestinian hometown in the West Bank. She said they've had settlers walking through talking about how they're coming for our homes next. Yeah. Oh, I believe it.
I believe that.
They're fucking thugs.
Crazy, crazy people.
Yeah, they are. Horrible. And let's see. And I think, let's see. Oh, Susan Collins just announced that she is running for re-election in the state of Maine. No big surprise there. Also, the Trump administration is abolishing $600 million in funding from four Democratic-led states for public health spending. But hey, it's not like there's a measles outbreak or anything,
right?
So it's not a problem.
Exactly.
Public health, public schmelth. We don't care. Doesn't matter at all. Yeah, that's nuts. Let's see what else. Yeah. No. Oh, you, John, before we go, I don't know if you saw this New York Times editorial kind of calling for rolling back the legalization of cannabis in the United States.
I didn't see that. Why?
Basically, they think it's gone too far and that it's causing a lot of harm and that people are addicted to pot and that it's causing a lot of unanticipated problems.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, then let's ban alcohol, too. Oh, wait a minute. We tried that. It didn't work. Never mind.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, and basically it's like they're basically the idea, what they're calling for is not criminalization, but, you know, making it illegal again, or just taxing the shit out of it so it becomes effectively illegal.
Yeah.
It's always about the taxes.
It's always about the taxes. That's right.
Let's get the money. I've always said this, like if the government was less interested in more interested in you driving safely, they wouldn't fine you for speeding or breaking the traffic laws. They would just have points, and eventually they would take away your license. That's all. The fact that there's money involved is because they just want to make money.
Yep.
All right, John, thanks as always for joining me here for Deep Program with Ted Rall and John Kiriakou. We're back tomorrow, Wednesday, February 11th at 9 a.m. Eastern time. We're here Monday through Friday at 9 o'clock Eastern time. Tomorrow, John, you're going to be out. You're going to be traveling.
Yeah, I'm going to do the James O'Keefe show down in Palm Beach.
All right, so go watch that, but also watch Scott Stantis. We'll be filling in for you, John. Scott Stantis is the editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. You guys remember him from filling in before. And stay tuned for the TMI show with Manila Chan and myself. coming up right now. Thanks, John. Happy travels, and see you on Thursday.
Bye-bye, Ted.